This portion of the broadcast has been pre-recorded. Our contact show this morning, a touchy subject for a lot of people, and honestly, not always a fun subject to talk about, but one that's very, very important. Suicide prevention. Unfortunately, so many of us have either been affected by this by somebody in your family or your friend group, or you know, maybe yourself, you're having these kind of thoughts. We're going to talk about suicide prevention, those uncomfortable conversations and questions that people don't like to ask sometimes, but are so important to do so. We are going to have our guest this morning, Mary Brown, the coordinator of the Clearfield Jefferson Suicide Prevention Team, on the show with us. I'm Brittany Madera, your host. It's Contact, this portion brought to us by Lifespan Family Services, Adoption and Foster Care.
Each day in Pennsylvania, there's at least 15,000 children taken from their homes due to abuse or neglect. Foster parents provide homes to these needy children. Lifespan Family Services trains, supports, and compensates foster parents to address this problem. Call Lifespan Family Services today at 375-1314 or drop in at the Du Bois Mall or at Lane Avenue in Punxsutawney. Lifespan Family Services, helping people help children every day. 375-1314.
Well, on Contact this morning, get ready for maybe some uncomfortable conversations, some uncomfortable questions, but ones that are very, very important and could honestly save a life. We have the Clearfield Jefferson Suicide Prevention Team coordinator, Mary Brown, with us this morning. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Now, I understand, first of all, we want to make sure that people know about the event that's coming up. There is a walk that people might have heard about. Give us, first of all, the details on the walk.
Okay. It's our 12th annual walk for suicide prevention and awareness. It's going to be Sunday the 12th. We're going to open up the park at noon. So if you haven't registered, you can at the walk, but you can also do it online at our website, which is oneistoomany.org. Our event will start at 1 o'clock. We have a list of speakers that will come up. They are actually going to talk about, you know, they've lost someone to suicide, or maybe they've even attempted suicide. So we have several speakers. And we're also, what's nice, we're also going to have a couple other things, like right before the walk, we have some singers. The Lakeshore Singers are going to come on and do a few songs for us. But we also have, what's nice is we'll have an MC for the day. He's going to be kind of taking us through all the events that are going on. And of course, there's lots of things around the park that we'll have. We are doing some light refreshments this year. Some pictures, team pictures. We like to do team pictures throughout the day. Lots of resources for survivors and those who have thought about suicide. And we'll have a lot of other resource tables around the park, too. We have a great big basket raffle that we do. It's always a great, great time that's had by everyone. But I think the biggest thing, and I'll just put it out there, about our walk is people come together with similar experiences. You know, they've either lost a loved one to suicide, or, you know, they may have had some of those thoughts themselves. So it's a great time for those people to get together, because when do you ever get that chance? So this is the perfect opportunity for them.
Yeah, what an amazing resource, not just to have those resources at your fingertips to know that those things are available, but also that people are there who are able to talk and able to share those same experiences. That's
right.
Great.
Right. And that's, it's a really important part. And I think that's the number one reason most people come to our walk.
Yeah. Great. And one more time with that date again.
September 12th, like I said, noon at the Du Bois City Park. We will open, registration will be open for about an hour, and then we will start our event at 1 o'clock.
Wonderful. Well, Mary, I wanted to make sure that we talked about that event a little bit since it is coming up so shortly, but we're here to talk about, you know, a pretty big topic and not always a comfortable topic to talk about.
Right.
Suicide. I mean, that is a big word for a lot of people. What would you say to that, to somebody who says, I just don't want to talk about it?
Well, I think that's a problem, that they don't want to talk about it. You can't hide it under the rug, because it happens, you know, and it happens in our two kind of areas. You know, that's a very sad fact, that because, you know, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to learn more about it. We don't want to, you know, what are the signs and symptoms of someone who may be thinking of suicide and how to step in and get them help. If the last thing you want to think about is how do I get this person help, call 911. You know, there's simple things you can do, and that's the simplest. But, you know, we offer trainings for anybody in the Tucana area. We do for free. We do suicide prevention training. So, you know, this is stigma. You know, yeah. Nobody wants to talk about it because, you know, we don't talk about mental health because mental health is a big part of suicide. You know, people are depressed, and that's one of the main underlying factors for suicide. But so many other things go into it. It's not just one thing that causes someone to die by suicide. It's usually a multitude of things. So whatever is going on in someone's life, you don't know what's going on. I don't know either. So you need to be able to talk about it.
Yeah. I think one of the common misconceptions that we hear sometimes is that if you bring up those questions, if you start talking about, hey, are you having these thoughts, that you might push somebody in that direction. Is that true?
That is not true. That's one of the biggest myths out there is you start talking about suicide, you're going to put it in their head. Not going to happen. If they're talking about suicide, they're already thinking about it. So, yeah, they don't need to worry about putting it in their head.
Yeah. Let's go over those signs and symptoms of how, first of all, how might you recognize it in yourself? Let's turn inward for a second. What are some of the thoughts that people might be having, or where is that edge where, you know, is somebody suicidal or are they thinking about it? Let's go over those factors right now in our own minds.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, depression is one of the major factors. So, you know, if someone's sad, you're not feeling well, they don't want to do the normal things they used to do. They don't want to become involved in any activities. They're one of the big ones, and I tell people this, is they're giving away prized possessions. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you want to give away that very, you know, it's so important to you. Why are you giving it away? So that's a big one. And there's a lot of other ones, you know, it kind of depends on their situation. They may have lost their job, so they're not feeling good about themselves anymore, or they've lost a loved one themselves, maybe not by suicide, but, you know, that spouse, you know, they recently lost to whatever the case may be, not feeling worthy anymore, you know, maybe feeling a burden to their family. There's lots of things that could be going on inside them, or just talking about one of the things they may just say, well, I don't feel like living anymore, which is pretty clear that they're saying that. You know, they may be just not wanting to take care of themselves. There's simple things you can kind of see. I know when I do one of my trainings, I do bring up this example of if you know someone really well and their behavior starts to change, like maybe they came to work, you know, always looking really good, their hair was fixed, makeup and always dressed to the nines. And they start coming in not so well dressed, maybe like a t-shirt, pair of jeans, and you start to see there's something different. And that's also a great time to ask them, you know, something's different. You know, is there something going on? And just starting that conversation is a simple question. How you doing?
Yeah.
Just simple.
Yeah, it seems to me that maybe this is a larger conversation about not just suicide prevention, but checking in with each other and mental health mm-hmm. as a whole.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you think about it now, I mean, we just came through, we're still in the middle of COVID, and a lot of people were home alone, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part. And how were they feeling during that time? We didn't get to go out and meet with them. So now it's a great time when you're meeting someone. How are you doing? How did you do through all of this? And great opportunity to ask them simple questions.
So let's turn it over to how do we see this in our area? I mean, what do the statistics look like around here? And we don't have to go into actual numbers, but whenever we talk about suicide, let's remember these are real people. Mm-hmm. These are friends. These are family members. These are neighbors who live in our community. How widespread of a problem is it here?
Well, I can say we have lost a few so far this year. I think Clearfield and Jefferson counties, actually, just statistics, we are probably in the higher numbers.
Really?
For the state county-wise, yeah. So we're probably, like, there's how many counties? 67. So we're probably, like, number 14 or 15.
Wow.
Up there. So it does happen. It happens everywhere. So, you know, you can't turn a blind eye on it because it may affect you. If it hasn't already, you know, it's a pretty good percentage that someone you know has lost a loved one to suicide.
Yeah. Is this just an issue for adults, for older adults, for kids? Where are we seeing, you know, the majority of this struggle?
Well, middle-aged white male have the highest rate of suicide. So, and if you look at our population in Clearfield and Jefferson counties, you know, there's a fairly large portion of it. But it's almost any age, especially middle age and up. But we also see teenagers. Teenagers is the third leading cause of death for the 15 to 24-year-olds. So, and we've got, you know, how many school districts in our area that, you know, have that age range? And do they have a program in those schools to deal with someone who may be thinking of suicide? You know, we have crisis. You can call crisis at any time. But schools are, you know, they also need to be putting in some more programs towards suicide prevention, towards mental illness. And you know, because a lot of kids deal with depression. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of numbers out there for that, too. The Pennsylvania Youth Survey, there's some of the questions they put on that. And at least 30% of the kids they survey are dealing with depression almost on a daily basis.
Wow.
So it's pretty prevalent, even with our teenagers. And suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. So, you know, we lose individuals every day.
Wow. So let's get past some of the uncomfortableness, or at least give some tips on how to get past that conversation, because it can be a difficult question to ask. It can be embarrassing sometimes to ask somebody, hey, how are you doing? Are you thinking about this?
Yeah.
What are some tips that you can give as somebody who's likely had that conversation much, much more than any of us have?
Well, and I think it is that first and foremost, they need to know that you honestly care about them. And I think that needs to come across, you know. And I know when I have ever talked to someone or if I've done a training, you need to show them you are listening. Because, you know, we're all very busy. We all have these wonderful things called cell phones. And you need to, when you're talking to someone, you need to show them that you are listening to what they have to say.
Right.
And you got to make sure you get the word, get it across to them that you care about them, you care about what happens to them, and you're here to listen. And you just have to show them a lot of times, just show them that you care. That, and it's as simple as putting your phone away, because how many of us, when that light goes off, you see it.
Right.
And you turn to it, and that person who sees you doing that, they're going to know right away you're not listening. Your full attention is not on them. So you get rid of all distractions. You get rid of the phone. You go somewhere where it's very private and give yourself plenty of time. So you're showing them that you're there. You're there to listen. You're there to care. And then just asking them, and it's simple questions, just like we've said, it's, you know, I care about you. I care about, you know, what might happen. I care about what you're thinking, what's happening in your life. Just, you know, I'm here to help you. Let's talk.
Yeah.
I don't think we do enough talking anymore. Because like I said, that phone, you can text, you can message, but it's really difficult to express any kind of concern over your phone.
Right.
Yeah, you can do your little emojis and whatever, but there's no body language. There's no, the voice isn't there. So you need, it has to be a face-to-face conversation. It really does. So that first and foremost, just sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation. And usually when you get to the point where you ask them or thinking of suicide, it's almost a relief to them.
Really?
Because they don't think anybody cares. They think they're a burden. But once you ask them, yeah, almost always, it's a relief to them. So then they can, it's okay to talk about it then, because they probably are afraid to say anything because of the stigma. But here, if you're asking them, it's okay. And then they'll know it's okay.
What would you say to somebody who maybe is considering suicide and they're having these kind of thoughts? What would you say to them to give them some kind of hope that on the other side of things, you know, of not dying by suicide and not attempting suicide, there is, you know, a sense of something different on the other side?
Well, and I think that's where you have to help them see that. You have to talk to them, and whatever's going on, whatever problems there are, you know, you may have to help make referrals, you may have to help them get help, but, and even let them know, you know, you'll help them get through this. Whatever it might be, you help them get through this. And there's always, this is usually, someone who's thinking of suicide, it's usually a short term. You know, it's that, like the here and now. Right. And once you get past that time, they almost always don't think of suicide again. But it's just getting them past this moment in time where they are thinking of suicide. They don't think life's going to get any better. And you can't say something like, you know, that's a crazy idea, or maybe it's a boyfriend-girlfriend kind of thing, or they've lost their boyfriend or girlfriend, and you tell them there's other fish in the sea. You don't, those are the kind of things they don't want to hear.
Right.
You know, because they're in the middle of, they just lost that boyfriend, and they're thinking, that's the end of my world. And you just have to say, you know, this is a difficult time, and it's going to be a difficult time, but together, you know, it's going to be a team effort. You know, you're going to help them get a little bit of help, because you're not going to be able to fix their problems.
Right.
You know, but just talking to them and be that friend that they need to get through this. It's going to take some work. It's not going to be easy. You know, if they're thinking of suicide, you know, a lot has happened to get them to this point. So, okay, one thing at a time. We got to get you some help. And then once we get you that help for that depression, for whatever that situation is, you know, let's look at what we can do after that. But we got to work on the here and now before we can actually move on to after that. So, and you want them to know that you're going to be here. If they go into the hospital for treatment or if they get therapy, you're going to be here through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to let them know you're here to support them, you care about them. And it's going to be pretty big on you too, because if you think about it, someone who's thinking of suicide is a pretty big thing. And what if they do die by suicide? And if you didn't do anything to help, I don't think I'd want that on my conscience.
Right.
You know, I'd rather, and if they get mad at you because, say, you call crisis or you take them to the hospital, and what if they get mad at you for getting them help? You know, I'd rather lose a friendship than a friend, you know, dying by suicide. So you just have to, you know, say, I'm here to help. I'm going to help you get through this no matter what. And it may be a long haul. That's probably not what they want to hear, but they're alive to hear it.
Right.
And you want them to stay alive. So, but it'll get better. You know, things will always get better. Like this is, they can only see one thing, and it's that they have tunnel vision and they have so much pain. They can't see it. So you're helping them to see something else other than suicide, because all they have is that tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, because of the pain, they're dealing with emotional pain, a physical pain. It's a pain they just cannot take anymore. So they only see the one way out. So you need to help them find another way, which is, okay, you don't, taking your life is not what you need to do right now. We need to get you some help so then you can move on. But just help them to see there's something else other than suicide.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, you actually do trainings on this.
Yes, I do training. It's called QPR. It's called Question, Persuade, Refer. And my team, we have several trainers now, which is nice. I don't have to do all of it. We've got about 5 or 6 trainers, and we will go anywhere in the Tucana area, and we'll do it for free. So if you're an agency, if you're a business, your school, you know, even if you're a club, a small group of friends, we'll come to you and do the training. So all they have to do is, you know, go on the website too. They can contact me. You know, all that contact information is on our website, which is the oneistoomany.org, which is nice. It's about 90 minutes. And we start out with, you know, I do some statistics of what are the numbers in our area and across the nation. And then we look at some signs and symptoms of someone who may be thinking of suicide. And then we talk about how do we get them help? You know, how do we make those referrals? In Clearfield Jefferson, we have a crisis line at 800-341-5040. Or you can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, or there's even a national text line. There's ways to get in touch with someone, or call 911. You know, we've trained a lot of our officers in, it's called CIT, Crisis Intervention Training, where they know how to talk to someone who may be in a mental health crisis. So there's lots of resources out there. Just go to the hospital. You know, all our hospitals here are trained to do exams. They mm-hmm. do our mental health exams. So there's lots of things you can do, lots of resources. And we also have a lot of just our mental health providers. So we are actually pretty good, you know, provider and services-wise for our two kind of areas. And like I said, we do our suicide prevention training. And we'll come to you. We'll be happy to do it for you. And then you'll know what to look for if someone may be thinking of suicide.
How can you tell that this is working?
Well, and you know, that's a really, really tough question, because we may be doing all these trainings. And of course, one of our main missions is to reduce the number of suicides in our two kind of area. But it really is hard, because the numbers are pretty much have stayed the same over the past many years. I guess in and out, that's a positive, because they've stayed the same. They haven't increased.
Right.
But we really don't know. I mean, I think we just look at the stories we get back. Mm-hmm. You know, we may hear stories, you know, I took your training and I had a friend of mine who, you know, was thinking of suicide, and, you know, I got her help. I got her to go see a therapist or the doctor. That's probably the only kind of feedback we get. But that tells me something.
Right.
That something's working. You know, they come to our trainings and then we get feedback that, you know, I did this. I tried what you taught us, and it works. That's really the only way we know something is working, because we really can't say numbers-wise with suicide. I know with crisis, we do, you know, they go out all the time on individuals that are suicidal, and they do a lot of the groundwork to help those individuals to get services. So, you know, we just kind of plug along. You know, we make the service available and hope more people take advantage of the training.
Right.
So we can see a difference.
We've got about 3-4 minutes left, but I wanted to make sure very quickly that we talk about maybe aftercare as well. If somebody has attempted suicide, or even the loved ones who are left behind afterwards, what is there for those people?
Well, and right now we also offer a survivor group for those who have lost loved ones to suicide. We meet monthly. We just got the okay from Penn State to go back face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So we'll be sending that information out probably sooner than later. But we were doing it virtual. And it's just, of course, it's just not quite the same. But we are looking forward to, and we'll offer it both ways, if you still either virtual by Zoom or face-to-face. But we have a clinician. She's a licensed therapist who leads it. It's offered to anybody who's lost a loved one to suicide. And it's once a month. It's the last Friday, fourth Friday at 5:15. And like I said, they are welcome to join. And we have others who are in that meeting who have lost loved ones, and they talk about their experiences. And I think that's the best part, is they can join with others and how their day to day, you know, moving on from the loss of that loved one. There are services out there for those who are thinking of suicide or who have attempted suicide. There's a program out there. I don't have that information with me, but I can get it if anybody's interested, that they do a support group too. So we would like to start one for that 15 to 24, actually a little bit older, 18 to 24, that age range where we've been talking about it, about doing a support group for those who have attempted. But we have a support group for those who have lost.
Right.
And it's available.
Wonderful. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but let's make sure that people know where to get those kind of resources, whether, you know, they just have some questions, whether they want to look up the number for the crisis line. Where can you tell them to go?
Well, it's all over our website. It's the one, number one is toomany.org. There's information about our training, about the support group, about resources in the area. The crisis number's all over it. You know, you can't miss it. And there's my contact information. So if they're interested in anything, you know, feel free to email me. I'll be more than happy to respond.
Wonderful. And again, that suicide prevention walk with the Clearfield Jefferson Suicide Prevention Team, that 12th annual walk for suicide prevention and awareness coming up this Sunday, September 12th at the Dubois City Park. Park opens up at noon. The program begins at 1 and the walk will follow. Registration is free and it's available, as Mary just said, along with all of that other information at www.oneistoomany.org. That's the numeral oneistoomany.org. And Mary, thank you so much for being a part of the show this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Brittany, for letting me talk.
You're welcome. That's Mary Brown from the, she is the coordinator of the Clearfield Jefferson Suicide Prevention Team. Happy to have her on the show this morning with Contact. I'm Brittany Madera. Contact, this portion brought to us by Community County Services, Family-Based Mental Health.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
This portion of the broadcast has been pre-recorded.